Good evening. It's April 13th, and you're listening to Beyond Tilted, Episode 5. This week, we'll talk about our news, what we're playing, and later on in the show, we're going to be discussing Twitch streaming. And with me, as always, Peter Shepherd and Andrew Green. How are you doing this evening, guys?
Good, good.
That was a really bad intro. I'm really sorry.
It's all right. We're gonna keep going anyway. Your shame.
I know we're gonna keep going. That's why I called myself out.
Although part of me wants to just double check to make sure that things are recording, but I already did the test before the show. I'm sure we're fine. Let's talk like idiots for 45 minutes and then realize we didn't record any of it.
Sounds like a plan. So Pete, what are you playing this week?
League of Legends, man. League of motherfucking Legends. Having a fantastic time. I'm trying to learn carries in the jungle. I'm 3-0 on Graves in the jungle. I lost one game when I played him top lane. I still don't understand how to play top lane at all. I really prefer jungle. And I picked up Kindred, and I lost the game on her last night. She has a higher skill floor than I thought, so it takes a little bit to get up to that level of just, you know, being a base level, you know, good at her or whatever. But I don't think she has a very high skill ceiling. I really don't see what people are saying. I don't see her as the next Lee Sin or anything like that, where it's really hard to play her after you learn the basics. So I really don't understand it. But I'm having a blast playing her.
Doesn't seem like she has a lot of like movement abilities.
No, I mean
like,
it's
intense micro that Lee Sin has, right?
The problem I'm having is I'm not used to playing a champion that squishy ever. Champions I play in lane and the champions I play in jungle have always been a lot tankier. She is squish factor 10. I mean, she is incredibly squishy, and the whole concept of kiting away from the enemy instead of running into the enemy, I have challenges with. Also, Darius,
I believe the term is squishably or killably soft.
Yeah. Well, she does have lamb's fur, right? We were playing against like the perfect counter to her, Darius, that went like 29 kills or something like that in the game. Yeah. And not all because I baited my team and such with my ult. I still had a pretty good game on her, actually. It was still relatively close, thanks to other people contributing on the team. I still managed to pull off a couple plays, but it's definitely very rocky and a very, very, very dramatic paradigm shift for me. I've never played a champion like that in jungle, but so it was exciting. I'm looking forward to playing some more. Andy, what are you playing?
Well, I think this answer is obvious, but it is Dark Souls, more Dark Souls, and also somehow Clash Royale, because it's a great game while I poop.
Yeah, you almost got me to play that.
I think that may have crossed the line for our audience a little bit, but okay.
Potty humor?
We have an audience?
Yeah. Next week, when CLG destroys TSC... Yes, I'm bringing it up now. When they destroy them, there's going to be...
run roughshod over CLG.
There's going to be so much potty humor that, I mean, you're not even going to know what to do with it. So, yeah.
If,
what are you going to do when you inevitably lose?
What's the T in TSM stand for again? Trash, I think? Yeah, I think it's trash. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
No, pretty sure, no.
Anyway,
Pete, you're in trouble. See, TSM already has double buffs.
What do you mean?
TSM has the regular TSM playoff buff, but then they also have the Yellow Star Finals buff.
Oh, have you also heard of the other thing? They've statistically tracked that certain teams do better when certain casters are casting. So yes. Jat heavily
TSM
favors
Jat
TSM,
is a real thing.
But Kobe heavily favors CLG, and he's apparently casting the finals with Jat, and I'm not sure who the third's going to be. But anyway, so
I would assume Rivington.
Kobe,
because that is, in my opinion, the NALCS's A team cast of three casters. Like if they had
my dream team would be Freak, Kobe, and Jat. I think those are my favorite three.
See, yeah. I think Freak is more amusing to listen to,
but for intense
Freak,
games, maybe not. Because
Freak just tries to pun everything.
Yeah.
Right, but for like an actual game, I'd rather listen to Rivington. I think Riv has the better overall voice to cast play-by-play.
Yeah, he's got he's
got that play-by-play voice.
When it gets to the finals, you don't want the funny guy, you know, in my opinion. No offense to Freak.
Freak does great on the desk between games.
Yeah.
When he has the whole game to plan his puns. So that they can just sit there and just drop and just be like, and you can see his co-casters and the guys on the desk just facepalm the puns. Mm-hmm. That's when Freak truly shines.
He also looks like the bad guy from Ant-Man. He's got that going for him.
Talking seriously here, though, I think it's going to go to five games. I would be shocked if it doesn't. I think it's going to be pretty back and forth.
CLG is a better team than Immortals.
I think TSM is going to lose the first game, though. I am saying that.
Well, you're in trouble if TSM was the first game.
Yeah, I think we're going to break that streak. I think TSM is going to lose the first game. I don't see CLG tilting that hard off of losing. There's like the second game or whatever.
I think those two teams know each other a hell of a lot more than they either of them knows in Immortals.
Yeah. And that's I don't think Immortals truly actually had to work this season at all, this split, to really analyze their opponents, and that's why they fell out last week.
My understanding was Immortals was kind of looking at this split as already won. Mm-hmm. And we're kind of already past playoffs.
So they were drunk.
Yeah.
They were apparently already planning and strategizing for MSI.
And it was reflected in their comps, yeah.
No one said what team it was specifically, but apparently a team that has lost was already had their boot camps planned in Korea. Mm-hmm. For MSI, and we're debating buying the plane tickets.
Wow.
More than a week ago.
It was probably Immortals.
Probably. But it also could have been Liquid.
Maybe.
Liquid.
It's going to be a great weekend, though. Unless we want to discuss League more, does Andy want this opportunity to gush about Dark Souls 3, or are we going to cover that a little bit later? I think we should get it out of the way now. But
yeah, let's get it out of the way. It's fucking amazing. Mm-hmm. If you like Dark Souls but thought Dark Souls 2 made a misstep, mm-hmm. and liked Bloodborne, even if you didn't, it basically took all the good things from those games and nearly none of the bad so far, and went, here's your new game. Also, here's some fan service. That part's a little weird because it's not really in line with the whole series, but I'm going in blind. I have no idea what the fuck is happening. People keep invading. They're not very good at it. I thought people who were... Anyway, it's an amazing game. It's a great experience to be the part of one of these things as they start out, instead of, like with my Dark Souls experience, was I bought it on Steam sale 5 fucking years after it came out or something, and there was already, like, there's comments on the ground telling you where everything is, and this time not all of those are there yet. There, you can't just look it up online in some cases to figure out, hey, is this thing actually good? Nope, you just gotta try it, see what happens.
I thought the game had been out for weeks, though.
It has.
The jury's still out on some things?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Like, apparently the people who went out of their way to just grab it early, you know, through their little workaround, are the same kind of people who min-maxed to the point where they didn't even try new things because they knew what worked. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of weapons that have no stats on the wikis. So it's like, great. Well, I'm going to try it.
So I saw you playing last night, actually. You were fighting a weird blobby guy with a sword and a giant shield on his back. It kind of reminded me of some Bloodborne enemies, actually. I mean, stylistically, do you feel that Dark Souls is significantly different than Bloodborne, or?
Yeah, in a few very key ways, but this was built in the same engine as Bloodborne. Mm-hmm. It heavily borrowed from the speed of Bloodborne.
Right.
But with enemy design, for the most part, Dark Souls is about taking something noble and making it sad. So right. that things aren't grotesque, they're just noble and sad. So an undead dragon in Dark Souls is a sad thing to look at, whereas an undead dragon, if it were to show up in Bloodborne, would be grotesque and hideous.
Horrifying.
And probably have tentacle faces.
Yeah. Is this one more existential in terms of story without spoiling things too much? Is it more existential, like Cthulhu-esque sort of meta narrative, or is...
I don't believe so. There's no. still a huge meta narrative, but it's Bloodborne was the Lovecraftian horror thing. This is more of an inescapable cycle of just awfulness. It's look at us, we're all trying super hard and using all of our disadvantages in ways that are advantageous, and we're striving to survive, but it doesn't fucking matter. That's what the storyline of these games has been since the beginning.
It's bleak, huh?
The ending to the first game, spoilers, is you either continue the cycle or you don't continue the cycle. Either way, your choice doesn't matter because some other guy comes and does the other choice immediately after.
Continue the cycle, yeah.
So,
my last question about it, how are the mage users? How's the casting?
I went. I started with Miracles because I went with the Herald, so I could. I really want to throw lightning bolts at people. I have yet to find that fucking spell. So that's been rough. Some people I know have started with the Pyromancer, and it seems like fireballs look real fun. And from what I've seen, spellcasting is a lot more mobile in this game if you go the standard spellcaster route. You can actually move while firing basically a magic missile.
Nice.
And yeah, that's some real bullshit when it invades your world and tries to kill you. Because you're like, he has to stop to cast the spell, and then you just get cold-cocked. What the fuck was that? Now I'm getting used to it. It's actually really cool. They're summoning giant ethereal swords and swinging them at me.
Yeah. Nice. It sounds like a cool game. I might be joining you relatively soon. No, not really, honestly.
There is a quick aside I have to make, though.
Yeah.
On the port report, as it were, the PC version apparently crashes real bad with NVIDIA 780 series. Supposedly, there's already a patch to fix that from NVIDIA, or maybe that may not be an issue anymore, but it was just days of people just throwing up reports of went to the first bonfire, game crashed. Made it to the second, game crashed. So when people try to save their progress, the game crashes.
Oh, yeah, that's got to hurt.
The most hardcore version of Dark Souls.
Yeah. You gotta play in one sitting.
You can't, because you actually have to teleport from one of the places through the bonfire.
So,
ouch.
I'm excited.
So That's Dark Souls.
And Kyle Pat, what are you playing?
Nothing. I play a little League of Legends with you.
Yeah.
I played some WoW, and then a little Halo, a little Division. Just kind of more of the same. Nothing new yet.
Yeah.
Let's move on and discuss the hot news topics of the week.
Again, guys, I really got nothing, so.
You are so helpful in this topic.
I don't follow stuff like that. You know that.
I know you don't.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Andy, do you want to start us off with a news item? Do you have anything?
They found a prototype of a fighting game that does not have a title. An arcade cabinet prototype. It appeared to have D&D characters in a fighting game setting.
Interesting. Archetypes?
You know how those boards work? You have to, like, plug ROMs in? Well, a lot of them were dead, so they're, like, kind of ad hocking it and throwing in stuff. Like, apparently the ROM that it controlled the text wasn't there, so they had to basically hack in Times New Roman or whatever just so they could see what the text was supposed to be.
Oh. Like, how old is this prototype?
This is old. I don't think they actually have a grasp on that yet.
Yeah. Wow.
And it was just some collector had it and was messing around with it, didn't know what it was, thought it was just an old version of a different fighting game, and finally got it to boot and was like, what the fuck am I looking at, guys? So, yeah, you know, video game history. It's a weird thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there was some Final Fantasy news this past week. As you may or may not know, Final Fantasy VII is getting remade. However,
poorly.
It's not just... What?
Poorly.
Yes. It's not just getting remade. It's being remade and becoming multiple different games.
Huh.
Multiple
Before you continue on this,
games.
I feel I need to point out that it is also being just re-released on Steam. Maybe buy that version if you wanted to play 7 again. Someone
Final
will
Fantasy
have a mod.
7 has been on Steam for a while.
Yeah, and I'm sure someone has a mod that makes it look pretty.
Yeah. Well, that's a little sketch. I understand that to remake 7 now in full remake in terms of... Because they're embracing the kind of design aesthetic of today's games, too.
No, the one that they've pushed. The one that makes it so that their games take billions of years to create and
this
nobody
did.
Cares about them.
Okay, yes. Yeah. Yes. So, the game will end up being so massive, because the original Final Fantasy VII was so massive. It was, what, 4 discs?
Yep.
On the PS1? There is no way they could release that game in today's Final Fantasy standards in a single release.
Those aren't high standards. Have you seen 13?
Yeah, I've seen 13.
You can save a lot of time if you don't have a plot or gameplay.
You can. You can also save a lot of time when the plot and the gameplay are written for you already.
Yeah. This is true.
Oh, no. Is this the remake Hollywood thing hitting video games?
Yup.
Oh,
yeah.
No. I was not looking forward to this.
Now, are the rumors true, since you seem to be more studied on this than I? Is it true that this is going to be episodic? So it's going to be a fucking Telltale game?
So it's not going to be episodic. What they're doing, and this is kind of why I brought it up, is they're doing what they did with 13. And there will be a Final Fantasy VII, Final Fantasy VII II, Final Fantasy VII III. I think what they're going for. It's not episodic, but there's going to be 3 different sequels.
Great. Why don't we re-release Dirge of Cerberus while we're at it? You know, let's just get on that bad idea train, get them all out of our system.
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. Yep. That's happening.
I actually thought of some news, by the way, if I can interject.
Okay.
It is League of Legends news, though.
Whatever.
And it's not what we talked about earlier. Okay. So, the AP itemization changes when live on the PBE or late last week. I don't think we covered this in the podcast.
Yep.
They got taken down early this week. And the community seems to be somewhat divided on them. I'm actually happy for the new items. You guys have already heard me raving about them, more or less, right?
They look amazing. Annie's going to be so overpowered.
The components are better. They're cheaper. The components are cheaper, and the finished items are cheaper and a lot more balanced now, too, which means APs are going to be able to hit power spikes earlier, which means Riot's dream of actually having a mage in bot lane and an AD carry in jungle or top lane instead could maybe possibly happen next split if these changes go through. Because honestly, right now, it really is just a power spike and gold issue in League of Legends. So I'm excited about all that. But community is pissed off about they have not really worked with the mana regen items that much. They're leaving them basically where they are, in fact, nerfing them in a couple cases, which some people are pissed off about. And Riot came out today or yesterday and said that it's because they're balancing these items with the dragon and blue buff changes coming in the next split too, the big patch before next split, mid-season patch.
Wait.
Which are, they're putting blue buff back up to doubling its mana regen, which is what it used to be. So that's
Hold on.
Yeah.
So we need to nerf the mana regen items because mages who were trying to move to a different lane further away from blue could still have it.
Let me finish here, Andy. Let me finish here. I said dragon. Now that's the interesting one. So they want dragon to have an intermittent buff on it. They haven't exactly said the details of how it's going to work, but dragon on a certain buff intermittently is going to give you a surge of mana. Again, not sure how it's going to work or anything like that. It does seem a little off. Making mages more reliant on blue buff is not, as a jungler, what I would like to see. But on the other hand, I mean, I called it. I said it 1,000 times. I'm going to say it so it's recorded on a podcast. The AP itemization, while nice in League of Legends compared to Dota 2, because they don't have AP items, the AP itemization is so bad compared to the AD itemization and tank itemization that they would not need much of a rework at all to actually be significantly better. I've said it 1,000 times. It's mostly the component issues and the complete costs have always sucked. And that's what these changes brought along. So I don't feel right criticizing them for maybe taking a bit of a step backwards in terms of mana regen issues, because these changes are really, really fucking needed. So anyway, we'll see. The community is obviously going after them right now in the League of Legends subreddit and trying to get the developers to see it from a different point of view. The items are removed off PBE. I don't know what that means. Tarek has stayed up on the PBE. So anyway, unless you guys have anything else to throw in on that, I mean, I don't know much you see it, Kyle Pat. You usually play AD carry, but you see it. The AP items are like suck, right? Like they're more expensive, which means your power spike happens later.
It used to be different, right? Remember when they reworked everything last season?
Yeah.
Right? They made certain things cheaper, things like needlessly large rod.
Yeah.
Which is good. I kept bemoaning. I'm like, why is needlessly large rod cheaper than a BF sword?
Why is needlessly large rod still in the game is still my problem. And actually, if I do have any criticisms of these mage item reworks mid-season, needlessly large rod is still in, and Rylai's didn't get touched at all. So, and those are two of my...
No, you know what? I think you need that big AP stick.
But they don't have an auto attack like AD carries. That's always been the problem there. So you don't really need that. You need components that help you win lane. You don't have your auto attacks to fall back on. You have the mana pool, and your costs are significantly higher. Now, sorry, I'm going to interject as well. I think the community is going wild because they were criticizing these mana changes, and we haven't seen the reworks to over a dozen mages.
Did you just interrupt yourself?
Well, I kind
yes,
of...
Yes, he just interrupted himself.
Did I interrupt myself? No.
Yes, he interrupted
Still.
Himself.
Over a dozen mage reworks coming in this mid-season patch too, right? And we have not seen a word of it. So if they've adjusted some of the mana costs to adjust things, maybe we'll have something a bit more workable.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The League of Legends community, especially Reddit, tends to get up in arms over little things. Mm. And then when they see the whole picture, they're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so
they just want to get angry.
I am 99% certain the reason why they took the items off the PBE is exactly for that reason. The champion changes are a little bit farther behind in the pipeline. Like, let's say they're going to come out like just before MSI or just after MSI or something, right? And, you know, they realized that having the items being tested without the mages actually changes going in didn't make any sense and was getting them really bad hate from the community for not seeing their vision, right? So I'm sure all will be well. Hopefully they're headed in the right direction, and they seem to have some good ideas on making blue buffs a little bit more contested now in the early to mid game, and dragon definitely a lot more contested in the early game if some of their changes that they've been hinting at come through. So exciting League of Legends news.
Andy, you got anything else relevant?
Really, just been playing Dark Souls.
Yeah,
like to get back to it.
I got one last news story.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a server that the community built and put together to run vanilla World of Warcraft.
Nice.
Now Blizzard has
Osgoth.
Yes. Blizzard has since shut it down.
Of course they have. They have to.
Yeah, right? Like they have to. It's copyright infringement and all that. Now, my question to you is, is everybody who played on that right to be extremely upset that Blizzard is protecting their copyright? And
no, because if there's something in trademark law, for example, where if you do not regularly contest people calling your product a Xerox or a Kleenex, for example, then you in the future cannot go after people for using that generic phrase. Now, it's not exactly the same situation as what you're describing, but what it does is it still sets a legal precedent, which allows people to take advantage, right?
I mean, this isn't the first server that's been shut down. Blizzard regularly shuts down these third-party fan servers.
Yeah,
this is just the difference, though, is I don't believe this one was monetized.
No, it wasn't monetized, and it also wasn't running any hacks. In terms of you can kind of cheat your way through things.
Yeah, oh wow, and that's what makes this more of a gray area for me, because this almost feels like it was a reservation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's the kind of. Like crux of everyone's argument is
like an archive,
It's a legacy preservation.
No, they're still totally justified. I understand why the community might want to do that.
I agree with you. I think they're totally justified.
But they're still totally justified. You know.
Everyone's complaint is, but the game changed.
Hmm.
But it said right on the box.
Hmm.
Like it says on the classic vanilla box that the game will change over time. Like that is part of the deal that you're buying into when you buy an MMO like that.
Exactly.
You don't buy an MMO, you rent it.
You still buy the box.
Yeah. And as an aside here, I still think that I'd say that I'm cautiously optimistic, but let's throw that at the window right now, because I'd say that I'm predicting that Legion is going to be the best, healthiest time of the game ever and the most fun. I think it's going to be a return to form. So I think people whining about we want it the old way now are wrong, and they just need to be patient. So
yeah,
I just think it's a little strange, because as you know, I have a large collection of old video games.
Yes.
So I have a bit of a preservationist streak. And I'm just wondering what the statute of limitations is when you can start going, this is what the game was like, as kind of a thing people can just jump into and be like, this is what it looked like this year.
Yeah.
Like, so the internet saves everything. You may think you deleted that shit from your MySpace profile when you were in high school, but that shit is still out there. It is findable. Like, someone has saved it. And I don't know why that shouldn't be the case with entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
I understand they have to protect their property, but at some point there has to be a line drawn where, all right, it's okay to do that now. And they keep pushing that line because they keep, one, lobbying for it, and 2 going, we're re-releasing the game.
Well, Andy,
So it's different between are we talking about something like Halo, right? Like a constrained single person game, or are we talking specifically about World of Warcraft? Because specifically
really any game.
For something like World of Warcraft, I don't think you can you can't go about preserving it until that game is no longer supported.
As long as
that is an actively developed and evolving game, I don't think it's right to go back and be like, oh, this is what it was like.
I don't know. I'd argue it's changed so much.
I mean,
it's like not even the same game.
It's not the same. It's not. Most of the underlying basic systems are the same.
Are they?
In terms of how you take place in combat and the inventory system.
Yeah.
Right? How combat occurs and the inventory system are, I believe, as well as the default UI.
Yeah.
For the most part, are the unchanged aspects.
And they're going back to the original class fantasies too, which is, you know, what I'm hyping up about Legion. So yeah, I mean, it's a living game, and a living game that is still ongoing monetization, as much as you may hate that word. And is kind of struggling right now, too. So
EverQuest is still protected?
Yes, I would consider EverQuest still protected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you mean on a moral stance. Oh, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out where the line is. I don't care how far back it is. It just has to exist.
Morally? No, morally they're protected, too. In my mind, anyway. But, you know.
Ultima Online.
And I do see your point. I do see your point of view, Andy. Like, I definitely see your point of view. For people who want to go back and play. But you know what? It's also kind of evil, too. Knock the red color glasses off, man. I mean, it was miserable. If this was 10 years ago.
I don't want to go back and play it.
If this was nine years ago.
I just think it needs to exist in some form somewhere.
Was 9 years ago, I would be just almost finishing up finals. So in a week from now, after finals were over, I'd be logging in and we'd be hauling ass manually to Wailing Caverns to do a dungeon, you know, on a Wednesday night that would take 4 hours, you know.
And most of my favorite stories come from those stupid treks across enemy
territory. But I don't want to do it again.
Yeah.
I don't want to do any of it again.
And for the people who do want to do it again, I don't know what to tell you guys. Think back to the memories. Don't let this new experience tarnish your, you know, nostalgic memories you had of the game.
See, a lot of people are like, are discussing the loss of the sense of community, which I don't disagree.
I don't disagree with
the community. It's gone.
Yeah. It is.
That's not an argument. It's just gone.
Give me my loot. Your
community exists within the guild that you are in.
Mm.
That has become what WoW is. You need a good guild. Really have a sense.
And how do you find your guild nowadays? Because it used to be you just partied until you found people you liked, and then you stuck with them and joined their guild. But now you go on Twitter,
Reddit, things like that.
I mean, we're hoping to find a decent group when in a couple months. Actually, yeah, it's 2 months away, isn't it? Right? It's coming out in June.
No, it's got to be out by the end of August.
I still think that there are some dungeons you don't even know where they are in the world.
which one of us?
Yeah, for Cataclysm, I definitely don't.
No, I know where all these.
Cataclysm, I don't. Pandas, I do, and all the other expansions, I do. So no, I know.
Okay.
I ran into them when I was leveling and stuff. Wrath of Lich King, I know every square inch of that aisle.
Of course you know that. Wrath. The shit was implemented in Wrath. You still walked around beforehand.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah, I think we've probably just about done that one to death.
Yeah.
Right.
So let's move on to our feature topic this week.
Feature topic. Can I introduce
it? You can introduce it.
Alrighty. Our feature topic is Twitch TV. the past of streaming, the future of streaming, the present of streaming. TwitchCon, I thought last week that TwitchCon was going to be coming up soon. Apparently, they just announced when it was going to be starting up. I think it's exciting that they even have enough.
Got to sell those tickets.
For a convention based on streamers and stuff, I'm excited about it. I would love to go to an event like that sometime as a fan or as a producer, a streamer, you know? But anyway, I want to talk about some of their competitors, some of the history of streaming, and, you know, we have pretty different stances and views on streaming, what makes a good stream, and call it maybe even the ethics of monetizing a community and such, right? So,
yeah.
Let's open this up. I just want to go back way, way, way back in time to 2004. Maybe 2005. Frozen Throne was just released, and I was working a job on the weekends in high school where I had to get up at 4 a.m. Actually, I had to be
no,
at work.
No, it would have been earlier than that. 2000. We graduated in 2004.
Please. Okay, so
and this
two,
song
2000,
is burning 2000, up the
2003
charts.
Then 2003, 2004. I would come home after that, and I couldn't nap. Now, of course, I can't stop myself from napping, unfortunately, most days. But I could not fall asleep after being up for work and I would get up at 3 a.m. I'd still go to bed the night before, like 10 or 11. So, I mean, some nights, you know, get 2 hours sleep going to work. And I would get home, and I didn't want to do my homework on the weekends. And the internet forums were getting really annoying at the time because they were really memeified on weekends because Blizzard actually gave their employees the weekends off, so they didn't have a moderator on the forums. So they get really trolly, so I had nothing to do. And I sure as shit wasn't going to play a video game. Why, guys?
No.
Because
you never play,
you
video,
don't play
games.
Video games.
So I found a guy who streamed. He's a Norwegian guy. He was in Clan Virus. His name was Sidis. So his name was Virus Sidis. And he started streaming way back when on Windows Media Player. And I don't know how he did it at the time, and it must have been incredibly expensive for him to do and incredibly expensive for my parents to pay for the bandwidth overages. But I used to watch him
stream. There were no bandwidth restrictions back then, Pete.
No, there were, because I remember us getting fined a couple months or charged up, yeah. Because me and my brother were also on internet forums with massive – or art forums, right, with massive downloads,
yeah,
because of the quality art and stuff like that. Yeah, and I used to love to watch. And he played there were a couple strategies he did. He didn't play solo too much on stream, but one strategy was Night Elf, and he would do archers with Demon Hunter, I think, into hippos, and then he would make hippo riders. And you remember in Frozen Throne they added it so that you could switch them between hippos and, like, you could remember in the original,
yeah,
game, they were locked,
you know,
in once they were merged.
Just occurred to me that anyone who doesn't know what the game is you're talking about or anything about Warcraft 3 is going to think Hippo Riders,
yeah,
is the funniest fucking thing they've ever heard.
Hippogriffs, folks. Think Harry Potter. Anyway, the original game, they were bonded for life or whatever, and then it was apparently just a technical thing in Frozen Throne. They figured out in the code how to do it to separate. Anyway, he had amazing strategies. You couldn't fight him with air. And you know how much I hated Night Elf, and I still loved watching him when he did that. He had another strategy where he went Dreadlord with an orc or a Night Elf ally who just made heroes, and he would sell his town portal scroll, and they would donate him money, and he would have six crypts, mass ghouls, and lead them to his Dreadlord in 2v2 and just destroy his opponents. Those were two of my favorite strategies. And he had another one where he would go Warden, and he would mass Moonwells over the entire map and just use the Warden to kill the entire enemy army. It was so entertaining. I loved watching it. He also played some Unreal Tournament as well and such too. That was my first taste of being a spectator of video games purely as a passive spectator with no intent to play, which led to, yeah, my love, obviously, of Twitch. And I didn't really jump on the Azubu bandwagon, even though my team CLG jumped on it for a couple years there, so that should tell you something about my opinions on Azubu. And owned TV, of course, with a 3 instead of the E, which went belly up just before Twitch's rise as the main.
Did you mention Justin TV? I don't remember hearing.
Well, Justin TV was the precursor to Twitch, if I recall correctly. So
this is correct, but I just thought it should be mentioned.
Yeah. So I love Twitch. I love watching streams. I can't wait to get that TV so that I can have streams on in the background constantly on a device that's not my computer. I love them. I think for the most part, most streamers are interesting. Night Blue. I watch Trick2G. I watch Kay Pike. She's a creative. She does body painting. Obviously not X-rated, folks, because it's, you know. Anyway, Warcraft 3. Grubby still streams Warcraft 3. He streams Heroes of the Storm. I used to love watching Guardsman Bob, but now he just streams Hearthstone, which isn't quite as interesting to me anymore. I love watching streamers. I love the communities that they're building. And I know Andy hates them.
Yep. I don't understand what you're talking about with communities. These aren't people you're talking to. This is a business transaction, and you need to get that out of your head.
That's so cynical.
Now, before I start just telling you about why everything about this is terrible, I want to point out there are some good streamers out there. There are people who are showing people a thing or doing something interesting and actually interacting in good ways. And then there are good people behind the scenes, like the Gun Run. Like, people actually make this shit work. There are good aspects. However, at some point in the past couple years here, Twitch has just completely just crystallized in this kind of really scummy, there's a loud noise that plays and, oh, thanks for donating, and I'm saying your name now, so you and me, we're buddies. Or when you donate, it'll read this in a robot voice really loud to everyone else, so now it's a fun game where everyone's donating. Like, it is really fucking creepy. It is taking advantage of people who basically have mental disorders.
Look, the monetization...
That's a little far.
Yeah.
Is it?
The monetization format before...
That just crosses the line. You can't say things like
that. If you think that the person is your friend who you're watching stream, you have a problem.
I'm not delusional.
It's designed around making you feel like that.
Look, I'm not delusional, but yeah.
Maybe you're not.
I'm not delusional. I don't think that they're my friend, but I like having them on in the background while I'm working on stuff because it does feel like I'm just hanging out with, you know, a friend. And they're just, and especially if they're like Night Blue and they're really informative about the game, like there's that style of streaming.
I love the informative streams.
And
I am down with that.
Why he does stuff. And then there's Trick2G.
Trump.
Yeah.
I will do a shout out to Trump on Hearthstone.
Yeah.
He's a very good stream. He's just telling you, this is the why I'm making this decision. Here's the math behind it. Whiteboard. I'm okay with that. I don't give a shit about Hearthstone, so I'm not watching it, but I understand that. What I don't understand is all these streams where it's, thanks for subbing. Oh, look, you've re-upped. Oh, your 4-month subscriber. You're the best, bro. And just...
And that's the style Trick2G does. It's very in your face. It's very, I'm a personality when I'm on the air. I'm going to stream for 8 hours and I'm going to speak in Ebonics and I'm going to be crazy. I'm going to play rap music. I'm going to have GIFs of Nasus in a pimp costume doing the, what dance? I forget the dance. Anyway, from that Snoop Dogg song, I'm going to, people pay $5 to have salt dropped off across his screen in delivery trucks, for example. Fake, obviously, pixels, obviously, but like, I like that too. It's entertaining, man. Sometimes I'm in the mood for that.
No, Trick2G used to be entertaining. Now all he does is watch other people play and have you
not true. He doesn't.
Has he gone back to playing?
He had a while there where he would just do sub wars, and he still does during certain times. I can't watch him because he just does sub wars. But you got to look at it from this point of view. People who are invested in that community, Andy, love playing in sub wars because they get to show up on his stream and they love
and
it.
I prefer watching something like sub wars because I prefer because it's a different, a lot of the times, especially specifically League of Legends, is the best players, the pros are the ones up at the top,
mm-hmm.
right? So watching games that look like our games and that they're getting casted, those are fun sometimes. I like watching. Yes,
it's like,
oh my god, look at this terrible play that this person just made. Like it's hilarious to watch. That's why I like Sub Wars personally.
Sub Wars, you have to be a subscriber. So if you want to have a chance in the spotlight, you have to be a subscriber.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that at all.
Cynical and money.
He needs some way to choose people. It might as well be people who are subscribers, you know?
He is giving you content.
He doesn't run ads anymore, aside from his sponsorships. Which leads me to
He's giving content, and all he's asking is people to voluntarily, you don't even have to, you can still watch for free. He's voluntarily asking people to either subscribe to him or donate to him.
Exactly.
And that's what all the other
people... When you do one of those things, the ADH nightmare happens on the screen.
Honestly, I think his style of doing it is actually one of the better ones. Like, donating $5 to drop off salt and stuff like that feels a lot better than just donating to troll him about his receding hairline, which some of his trolls do. Or, honestly, even subscribing. I still don't understand exactly the appeal of subscribing, I'm sorry to say. I don't understand that monetization model.
Why would you even sign into Twitch? You don't need to talk to these people.
But the donating only did not work, man. And the ads only doesn't work either, because it's not really enough income for somebody to start to get it, to do it for the long
amount
of time. They
interrupt you. So I understand that. That's why things like Patreon exist.
A streamer doing Patreon instead? I think there's a reason why we don't see very many streamers doing Patreon instead. And Twitch streaming, like Kay Pike, for example, the body painter, she does Patreon. And you look at the Patreon compared to what she'll make in like a 3 or 4 hour stream that I've seen, like there's a pretty good reason why Patreon is not her primary, and it's kind of like
no shit. Because the entirety of streaming is based around getting you to part with your money with these people in dumb fucking ways.
I really don't believe they're doing this
altruistically. They're not here for fun. They're here because you can make the shiny thing happen on the screen, and that gives me another $5.
No, I believe Night Blue when he said, because he says every couple of weeks when I tune in, because I can only watch him on Saturday and Sunday mornings before LCS starts, he says the same story about how he got into it. He used to play a lot, and so he was like, well, why don't I just stream it? And he started to stream, and the more and more he streamed, the more and more he enjoyed streaming. He literally does it just because he actually enjoyed it. He didn't start streaming with the intent of, like, I'm going to get money from this. So, I mean, that's cynical of you. Some people do,
especially because I feel like you're specifically targeting the small group of large streamers.
Yeah. And Nightblue's one of them, by the way.
The so-called super streamers. I think you're missing the bigger subset of the people who are just like, maybe you're only streaming to like 50 people, 100 people.
Yeah.
Like those guys aren't in it to, you know, make money. They don't have all those bells and whistles and the crazy.
Exactly. They don't have sponsorships.
They constitute the majority of Twitch streams, not these, you know, 20, 30,000 people streams.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, if I go to Twitch right now and click on a random stream, there's a pretty good chance I'm going to see an animated GIF telling me about how someone just subscribed.
Is it the distraction while you're watching, or is it the fact that you think that they're just being shills for money? Because you seem to have two reasons why you hate them here. And
I don't like anything about it. I want to be here to watch someone play a game, and instead they're trying to play their audience.
I just don't see anything wrong with that. If the stream is not for you because they're doing that, then you just don't watch
and
watch one of these.
And now none of them are, because those aren't
the
ones that make money.
I'm telling you, man. Nightblue a couple years ago was one of the top 10 streamers. I think now he's only the top 20, although I know for a fact that he doesn't use bots, and I'm pretty sure a couple of the other people in the top 10 do use bots, so you know, he probably is still legitimately in the top 10. But anyway, and he's got a really successful stream, and he doesn't do any of that stuff. None of the weird flashing gifts and stuff like that. Yes, he does do donations, and he does read them on screen. He doesn't have a robot doing it. But he does read them on stream if he's in a game and he's ahead, or, you know, he can pay attention to the question or whatever. And he answers the question on air, and he's very informative while he's playing. So, yeah, that's one streamer, right? So I understand what you're saying. You think they're all bad or whatever. But
pretty much they've all become the exact thing I'm complaining about. Every time I go to Twitch thinking, oh, I'm going to watch this so I can unwind, and all I can find is just that bullshit. And apparently everyone's playing Mario Maker these days.
I've seen a couple of other good streamers. I'm not sure if I should mention them by name or not, but anyway, there's one guy named Abathur who obviously plays Heroes of the Storm and plays as Abathur.
Yes,
primarily.
Yes. Like I said, I even shouted out to one or two at the beginning. I know they exist. They're just
he's a great streamer.
They're now the exception.
Under a hundred viewers on a regular basis. Not to knock on the guy or anything like that. He does a very good job. But he's got a very, very small community. It's enough. He does something else. I think he might coach people as well, like private coaching of players. I think I've heard him talk about on stream a couple times before. He's very interesting, very informative guy to watch, and he's very entertaining as well. Watching them because of their personality gets me sometimes. You know, I'm not, and yeah, I'll put up with some of the annoying stuff I don't like even. Yeah, if their personality is good enough. So, I don't know. And like this building communities thing, yeah, they're building communities. Players that help each other support each other, you know, like in solo queue, you are with League of Legends streamers or whatever. Sometimes you'll find somebody else who happens to be in the same, you know, watch the same streamer as you or whatever, and you know, it's fun to have that connection. It's fun to make that connection in games, I think, anyway. So
for me, I don't watch a lot of streams, mostly because part of it is I'll watch streams for things like esports, League of Legends, StarCraft, Counter Strike, whatever. Like,
yeah,
I'll watch Counter Strike and Halo and all that. Mm. For me, I much prefer going to YouTube and watching a Let's Play.
Yes.
If I want to see
right
gameplay,
yeah,
because I don't like I don't like jumping in the middle of something. Mm. Like, and that's just the way my brain works. I need to start TV series at the beginning. If I'm going to go watch like a sequel to something in the movies, I got to watch the first one. Mm-hmm. It's kind of why I've never really been able to get to read comic books, because no one's really been able to point me to somewhere where start here. And right. Because mm-hmm. everything in the past still matters, but I'm like, but I need to know all the paths.
If they're entertaining enough, you know, they can smooth that over in some people anyway. Obviously not you.
Part of that is just like, I think part of that is because I like history so much. I like knowing the whole story, mm-hmm. right? So especially, and for gameplay, I want to see when I'm home and at my parents, I like watching kind of longer form games, right? Mm. Things like Sins of Solar Empire,
wow.
Civ 5, things like that. Things that take a long time that I can, you know, kind of watch throughout the day or the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I like those longer games, and I think YouTube's the best to go because one, you know, you can watch a complete game. The game ends, generally, unless you're watching a continuing series. But I don't usually do that.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and those have just as many problems as the Twitch streamers. They do some of the shilly things that Andy mentioned, some of them. But others do build up that kind of community, and video to video, the stories build up.
Yeah.
Things. Like, XCOM's a great thing that I think watching XCOM works way better as a YouTube series.
Oh, so much.
Than watching it on Twitch.
Because there's like a narrative that takes place?
Yeah, because...
Also, you could edit out the 50 minutes of going, but if I click here, he'll die.
See, I don't usually... I don't watch those caliber of XCOM players. I watch the kind of people who are kind of around where I think my level is-ish. Hmm. You know, the kind of the guys who are playing and who will misclick and will be like, oh, shit.
there's a decent series you may want to check out called Iron Man Impossible.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's a heavily edited format. I like that you can do that with a lot of the YouTube stuff I enjoy is it's edited in such a way that the thing that's interrupting the video is the video of itself. So I don't know what it is about that, but that apparently speaks to me, where they'll be doing something and then they'll just cut to another scene of them doing a thing, but they're doing the voiceover and not skipping a goddamn beat. Like, apparently I'm really into that. But then there's the other side of YouTube where it's just people shrieking at stuff, which can work, generally doesn't.
Odd One wants to move into variety streaming, actually. So this kind of, and he comes from a League of Legends background, obviously, right? He's been trying to do it for a couple years, and he notices his viewership goes down when he stops playing League of Legends, but he's still trying to power through. And you know Odd One. You used to watch him a lot, right, Kyle Pett?
Yeah, I watched the fair.
You know, and he's got a really interesting commentary, because when he's playing League and stuff like that, he's got the informative and, you know, this is why I'm doing this and this is what's going on. He's been very ragey, by the way, lately in solo queue. Actually, it's a little obnoxious to watch. He used to be a lot more chill than that. But anyway, and then when he plays a single player game, even in League of Legends, you know, those, you know, the Odd One moments, right? Those hamming it up, those dramatic things. That's good to watch. I think he's going to make it as a variety streamer, by the way, because of that. He just needs to maybe ham it up a little bit more without being too much of a shill about it, I guess, just to please Andy. But anyway, you know.
Well, this goes back to part of the problem with Twitch and how it's designed.
His reaction.
You can't be a variety streamer, because the second you're not playing the most popular game or one of the most popular games on that list, you have fucking peered.
That's what variety streamers do, though. They get...
Yeah.
And actually, you know what? Like I said, 30,000 viewers at 3 in the afternoon? I don't know, soda popping. I don't know, man. You're playing Sheep Tag in Warcraft 3 with 30,000 on a Tuesday afternoon? 30,000 people watching you? I don't know, man. I don't know if that's legit. I mean, I know he's popular, and I'm sure as shit not going to tag him in this podcast in case his fans start brigading us, but... 30,000?
Hey, that would mean we had people listening.
For a game that's that dead? I ain't buying it, man.
Let's shill. That's apparently
the
answer.
I did watch him for about an hour playing Sheep Tag on Warcraft 3, and you know what? He was pretty entertaining. His reactions to things going on and stuff like that. I see why he's one of the most successful variety streamers. Definitely. Did Dunkey ever stream, or did he just do YouTube videos?
He just did YouTube.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So the other problem with Twitch that I have is Twitch chat. I don't understand.
Turn the fuck off.
Yeah. I have a problem with that too. Yeah.
The only time I've ever kind of used Twitch chat is when it's been a very small stream.
Yeah.
Like sub 100 and, you know, where you can actually get some real interaction with the
item. I'd say
the streamer.
The sweet spot is 100 to 1,000, I'd say. Any more than 1,000 and it gets too drowned out. Any less than 100 and it's just pathetically dead.
See,
the last time
I
used a chat program attached to a stream was fucking the IRC for GOM TV back in Brood War.
Yeah.
But for some of these, like hunt like for the League of Legends for LCS.
Yeah.
150,000 people watching on Twitch.
Kappa 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 kappa.
It's like why? Like
orgasm face, orgasm face, orgasm face. Yeah.
What enjoyment are these people getting from all this Twitch spam? Mm-hmm. And I don't get why the casters read it.
Yeah.
Because some of them mentioned that they read it on air, like while they're watching.
Yeah.
Especially
I'd like
if,
to go back to my mental disabilities talk.
Like if they're on the analyst desk, they read the Twitch chat. Mm. I'm like, why are you wasting time reading Twitch?
Yeah.
Why? What is it? Yeah. What understanding is it bringing to you of this game?
I don't know what the solution is, because I definitely agree with you. If they could do something to rein it in. Now, they do have subscriber only in chat mode. That doesn't work on streams with 3,000 subscribers. I'm not joking. You know?
I know. It's
Some
people swear by Twitch chat.
Nightblue has hundreds of subscribers. Hundreds.
They think it's great. They think it's hilarious. And I just don't get it.
Kappa! Yeah. Kappa!
Yeah, but where it's going, and in terms of I'm going to
try to steer this a little bit where I actually originally wanted to go with it. So you heard at the start of this segment or whatever my nostalgic days of watching one Warcraft 3 streamer. I don't really know anybody else.
We're going directly into that fucking wall.
But
okay, go.
What I envisioned back then is sort of what Twitch has become now. Sort of. Don't cut me off, Andy. Sort of. But where I see it in the future is it is another way to change the way people consume media. And I think you're underestimating just how crucial it is that in a world in which we want 22-minute sitcoms without the ads, right? And like 38-minute TV shows without the ads in an hour. And YouTube videos under 5 minutes, most people won't even bother watching. And, you know, even then, even 3 minutes is too long for some people. And
what's
this
an ad?
This memeified culture. I don't say anything about ads in YouTube. But anyway, this memeified culture of GIFs and memes and stuff like that, of small little truncated content. The fact that Twitch is able to have independent content creators find a way to monetize long form of entertainment is changing the way people view media again. So, I mean, we still have our Netflix, we still have people who watch TV, even though cord cutters are, you know, increasing in numbers massively every single year. But this is another long form style of entertainment, the way I view it. It's a completely different style because it comes down to the individual content creators having all the power within reason. There are rules, but within reason, having all the power in the relationship with the company that they're working with, Twitch. And Twitch, for the most part, seemed pretty cool about it. They don't want to. They're kind of Facebooking it. They've had this slow monetization, you know, slowly rolling out and such. And I think it's exciting because I think that 50 years down the line, if Twitch is still around and other streaming services, I'm sure as well, if online streaming entertainment is still around, I think it's going to be a pretty big deal. I think it's going to be as basic to us as radio was to our parents or TV to our parents. You know what I mean?
How old are your parents? Radio.
but no, at least TV would probably be a bit of a better analog then. Yeah. So yeah. I think it's going to be like TV is, to our parents, where it's just kind of like, oh, you know that. Yeah, that's the thing that exists. I don't know what changes it's going to have in the coming years and such like that. But I mean, you remember our first times watching live stream videos, the archive videos of Day 9 and his live streams as well. Right. When he would actually go live. You know, that was exciting content. We loved tuning into that show. I mean, I set my work schedule around it for a few months there before StarCraft II's release. You know, it's changing the way we consume media. And my point is, in a day and age when our parents' generation are writing articles about how our generation are idiots about short attention spans, Dyrus does 9-hour streams on a regular basis, 7 days a week. You know what I mean? That's not short, bite-sized pieces of content. then of course they edit it and
older people since YouTube, the fucking days of Socrates have been saying that young people have short attention spans. Exactly. And all it is that every generation gets successfully fast or successively faster at doing things. Yeah. So, you know, you're just old and slow.
I you know, I've seen some Twitch streams. Again, I'm not going to mention them all by name. Actually, I'm not going to mention any by name in this one. But I have seen some Twitch streams that some that kind of confuse me. A few hundred viewers, and yet they seem to be completely living off of their Twitch streaming. I'm not sure what sort of sponsorship deals they have.
Cocaine.
But they're starting to, like, develop some really interesting content for specific communities. Some really niche content on set schedules that people enjoy and they like watching. I don't know, man. Yeah, it's the optimist in me talking, but it's pretty exciting stuff, you know? Try to put your negative spin on that.
The whole way it's designed, it's just going to be more and more ads in your face. Like, that's... The problem is from the ground up a design factor. Like, it is designed to, you know, go, give me your money. And of course it is. That's why you build a thing. But, man, is it in your face about it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think that's
it's our fault because we didn't want ads. We didn't want, like, they tried to find a way around until they found one that worked, and it's creepy.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, with that, I think we've covered about just as much as we can for this evening.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, where can everybody find you?
At BrushWInsanity on Twitter. You can find my webcomic at brushwithinsanity.com. It's about two wizards. I like doing it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be plugging it.
And Andy, I assume you're playing Dark Souls. Where can people watch you do that?
Twitch.tv/tactic09. I see what you've done here. Yeah, oh. I don't actually care, though.
Yeah.
Is the difference. I think I had two viewers yesterday. I don't know who they were.
I was how probably
about...
one.
How about okay. you? How about you spell tactic for us?
TACTYK09.
Thank you. And as always, you can send all of us an email to beyondtilted@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at Kyle Pet. That's at Kyle Pet, two T's in Pet. And for all of us here at Beyond Tilted, stay tilty, my friends, and have a good night.